I'm going to squeeze two sessions into one, because at the end of the day, I want to share my heart about what I feel that God is saying, and we respond in accordance to His heart. So if you're outside, you can come back, because we're supposed to talk about that the truth crisis. Then I'm going to share about that. You know, it's the clearest in the Bible. How do we respond in time of crisis? Amen. Okay, I'm waiting for everybody to come back. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just make an announcement, because people ask about, so how do I give an offering, okay? If you want to give an offering, just drop it into the offering box, okay? We primarily don't collect offering in the sense that, because we really want to speak the heart of God, no? I always say this, I don't want your money, I want your heart for God. Okay, so if you want to give an offering, just drop into the offering box. Okay, so we are not going to do any collection or offering, and everything we do, we are doing it for free, because we want the word of God to go out. Amen, amen. Okay, I'm going to try to squeeze two sessions into one, because I thought I want to share my heart, and I don't want to say this is a call. I'm going to give a suggestions because we need to respond in accordance to the heart of God. I just want to briefly touch on this truth crisis thing, then before I go into how do we respond, we're going to pray for especially young people below the age of 35, okay, about loving this, the word, okay. You know, I can share about this LGBT thing that really stir my heart, because the truth of the matter, we need to understand what is at work behind. It's not people. There's a spirit that's working very strongly. It's called the spirit of lawlessness. We need to understand that, because this whole that's why we have to say clearly, it's LGBT agenda. It's not the people. We need to love them, because Jesus loved them deeply. We have to understand it's an agenda. There is the spirit that worked deeply behind. If you read Matthew chapter 24, the Bible makes it very clear that at the end of the age, lawlessness will abound. That's why we are seeing all these signs of it, because there is the spirit that's actively opposing God. It's an opposition, like what Sam Tzu say. It's a defiance, trying to counter every benchmark that's set by God in accordance to the word of God. That's why more and more, we need to get back to the word of God. Because if you don't understand truth, you don't understand the word of God, we will easily be overrun. That's why it is so vital. See, it's that there is the opposition at work right now. But it's very subtle. It's very passive in the sense, you know what it's disguised as at the moment? Two very well-known words. In the name of tolerance, in the name of acceptance. That's why we need to really know the truth. And I want to address just quickly about this truth crisis thing, so that we know how to counter. Okay, to me, primarily, and it's true, there's truth crisis that's happening around the world, but we need to understand what this means. To me, there's twofold aspect of the truth crisis. One is really redefining of truth by the world, even by the Church of Jesus Christ. They are redefining. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. So I'm going to give a very humble, loving exhortation, is that we need to get back to the Word of God. We have to make teaching the Word of God as a main pillar and foundation in the Church of Jesus Christ. See, the key is, I know many people tell me, Kijong, have you become more evangelical? You don't believe in the move of the Spirit? No, trust me, I have my encounter and so on. But the Bible says this, it's not either spirit or the truth. It's spirit and the truth. The Holy Spirit, I like this statement. The Holy Spirit dances around the boundary, the glorious boundary of the Word of God. It does not contradict. That's where we need to get back to the Word of God. And in our house of prayer, we pray the Scripture. Every time we come to pray, you have to pick a verse and pray the verse because we want to pray biblical. So people say, are you legalistic or are you boring? And so on. No, that's where we have no idea. The Word of God is not boring. Hebrews 4 says what? The Word of God is alive, powerful, sharp. That's where we will get back to the Word of God. That's where now there is twofold truth crisis. One is the world is redefining truth. Another is even the church is redefining truth, which is scary. Turn me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. I would like to encourage you to read 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. No, in fact, read all the whole Bible. Okay, but the key is this. Go and read 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. A lot of things that Paul is talking about at the end of the age is happening right now. It's true. Turn me to 2 Timothy. Okay. They are basically right now that is redefining of truth. Okay, that means using the Bible versus twisting truth or justify our opinion. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come. Paul is talking to the church. He's not talking about unbeliever. Talking to the church. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Do you know that there's a place to endure sound doctrine? We hold on to what the Bible says. We don't define it in accordance to our opinion or what we want to hear. Truth cannot be defined by sentiment. It has to be defined. That's why we have to know the Word and study the Word carefully. Say this, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desire, because they have itching ear, they will heat up for themselves teaching. They want to hear what we want to hear. That is kind of scary. Verse 4 said this, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fable. So there is, you see around the world, people are beginning to redefine truth, whether it's the world or even in the Church of Jesus Christ. The greatest danger, I say earlier, is not wrong teaching. Because it will be obvious. The greatest danger is distorted truth. We have to understand because it seems right, but actually there is a major error that is in it, but because it's so subtle, that's where we get, inverted commas, seduced or deceived. That's why it's deception. Okay? See, people who are in deception do not know that they are deceived. That's not deception. If you know that you are in deception, you still choose to be deceived, that is not deception, that's foolishness. That is the danger of it because of distorted truth. And it's danger, you know why? Because distorted truth, there is a progression. If you understand what the Bible talks about, it's always a progression. It will open the door for, firstly, compromise, casual with sin, eventually accepting, justifying sinful or immoral lifestyle. That's what, there are some churches redefining LGBT. It's okay, love, in the name of love. But what is love? That's why we need to know some of this fundamental truth. I tell you what is the great real crisis, okay? And that it will open up some of this door, eventually deception. You know, Bible talks about the great falling away at the end of the age. That's one of the great prophecy about end time. And Paul asked the church to pay attention because there is going to be a great falling away and lawlessness. The root of it is because we do not know the truth. We need to get back to know the truth because the enemy is working really hard. And we have to, by God's grace, work hard, okay? Because I have no time, I'm going to just give quickly. Okay, 3 fundamental truths that we need to get it right for the Church of Jesus Christ. Because these are some truth that has been hijacked by the world. Even the church is kind of like getting it wrong in a sense. 3 fundamental truths, okay? 3 fundamental truths, we need to get it right. Again, I have no one in mind. It's just that I feel that that is something that, I mean, I'm looking around, it's very clear. These are 3 fundamental truths we got to get it right. The first one is the grace message. the grace message. We get, you know, the Bible prophesied about perverted grace message, the most prophesied false teaching at the end of the age. So pay attention. These are three. The first one is grace. What is grace? What does the Bible say about grace? What does that mean to live by grace? How do you balance grace, obedience, and works? We have to understand. See, that's where we got it wrong, because there are even people teaching right now, obeying rules, law, in accordance with the word of God is legalism. Is that what the Bible teaches about? No. Legalism is obeying the word of God, the rules of God, the requirement of God without relationship. Because Jesus say very clearly in John chapter 14, verse 21, if you love me, obey my commandment. So say, but you've got to get it right, because this is some perverted truth that comes out, or distorted truth. It will open the door for compromise, and eventually we'll go backward. Okay, turn me to Jude 4. Jude 4, just show you one. Jude 4. Jude has one chapter, so it's Jude chapter 1, verse 4. Okay, Jude 4. Verse 4 said this: For certain men have crept in unnoticed. Remember the Church of Jesus Christ, even false teaching. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of our God, or the grace message, into lewdness. Wow. We are seeing. So this is one of it that we have to get it right. Second is the message of love. What is love? You know that the word love has been hijacked by two camps, Hollywood and the LGBT community. That's why we do not know how to answer, because if you love, we need love. We want to love one another. Well, how does the Bible define love? What is love? No, I agree. The real issue about LGBT is love. They need love. But what kind of love? They need the love of Jesus, just like you and me. So we got to know how to define love. We need to understand love. What is biblical love? What does love of God looks like? What does love for God looks like? What does loving people looks like? Does it mean that we love people means we don't confront sin? That's why we have to get it right. It's vital. It is vital. And more, I was telling my guys yesterday, more and more we need to pray and ask God through the word of God to understand issue. Because as we go further and further down the road, issue will be more complex. But there's an answer from the word of God, the truth. We have to get back. And in our house, we insist that even children need to read the Bible. No, I mean, we try. As long as you can read, then don't read pictorial Bible and so on. No, I'm not against it and so on. But that we're trying to educate our children to read the Bible. So you're going to get this grace right, love right, in accordance to how the Bible defined, because it's being hijacked. I mean, like King would know, you know, this is about love, freedom to love. What is, again, let me ask humbly, what is freedom? What does Bible define freedom? Freedom doesn't mean you can do anything you want. You know, we often quote that verse, 2 Corinthians 4 or 3, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. What does that mean? You know how the Bible defines freedom? Freedom is not you have the right to do anything you want. Freedom, biblically, is you have the right, you have the power to say no to sin. That is freedom, because there is the grace within you, you can say no. Because why people are in bondages? That's why it's called bondage. No freedom. They just don't want to sin. But there is this bondage to pull them to sin. That's why freedom is not choosing anything. No, freedom is not choosing anything you want. Freedom is you have the ability to say no to sin. That is power. Amen? That is grace. So we got to get this right. Grace, love. The third one is, who is Jesus? Because the world is redefining who is Jesus. It's crazy. Yeah, there are churches in America actually now teaches that Jesus is not the only way to salvation. Yes, church. Not where you are. It's true. So we got to actually get it right. Turn with me to Matthew 16, verse 15. Now, I'm passionate about this. I was telling the Lord, you know, recently, I'm 50. I decided what's my last message, really, before either Jesus come back or I go and see him. I want to be able to preach with accuracy, with clarity, with authority. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? That's the thing. Matthew 16, verse 15, Jesus asked this question. To me, that's one of the most fundamental and most foundational questions, especially right now at the end of the age. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? We've got to get this right. We have to have clarity. Who is Jesus? Jesus is more than just the way, the truth, the life. Who is Jesus? We have to get this right. These three truths are grace, love, and who is Jesus? Okay, read the word. Now I'm going to talk about the second four. Okay, to me, that is a real truth crisis, not false teaching, not just the word redefining truth and so on, because all this can be overcome. I think the real truth, and then I say this lovingly. Okay, but I'm going to say it anyway. The real truth crisis is that the people of God does not know the word, does not know the Bible, does not know the truth. We have to get back to the word of God. We have to turn me to Hebrews 5. I thought one of the best verses to describe. That's why I always tell people that you have to get back to the word. You have to read the word, you have to teach the word, you have to emphasize the word, you have to meditate the word, you have to pray the word, because it's not either the spirit or the word, but it's the spirit and the word. Jesus said what? In John 4, you want to worship God, worship him in spirit and in truth. The word of God is not boring. If when you read the book, read the Bible and you feel that the Bible is boring, the problem is not the Bible, the problem is you and me. So we have to ask God for that love, for the word of God. We have to get back to the word of God. Tell me the Hebrews, Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5. No, I'm passionate about this because I'm not forsaken about that. The work of the Spirit is powerful. In the 90s, I went around the world to chase for revival. I have all kinds of encounters and so on. But the Lord taught me that you need to get back to the word of God. It's the Spirit and the Word. You are going to need it. It's important. We have to get back to the Word. I will end by telling you a dream that God had for the young people. Then we're going to pray. Then we're going to talk about the last part. Take me to Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5 said this. You know that the Bible prophesied about deception at the end of the age? In fact, Jesus talked more about deception at the end of the age than the Great Tribulation. There is a reason, because it's going to come. And the root behind this is simply because we don't know the Bible. We are not clear about what does the Word of God say. So we have to get back to the Word, because like what Paul said in Hebrews 5, okay, again, I'm not saying this to swipe anybody, I'm saying it lovingly, because we really need to get back to the Word. Teach the young people the Word. He has to, so that we have a solid foundation that will not be shaken. We have to, it's vital. I say this lovingly. Please, get back to read the Bible. Teach the Bible, okay? Hebrews 5, verse 12. Hebrews 5, verse 12. You know, how do you overcome deception? You have discernment. How do you have discernment? No, I know there's this thing called spirit of discernment. Oh God, give me discernment. I know what's right and wrong. But fundamentally, spirit of discernment is cultivated through you know the word of God. So that when you look at what either the word is saying, or what Kei Chong is saying, or what Lai Keng is saying, you can discern whether it's true or not. You know what is right or wrong. You don't depend on because they are big shot. I'm a small shot. So it's easy to be overrun. But sometimes, how do you know that this guy leads the church by the 50, 60,000, what he says is right? Amen? So we need to get back to the word. We really have to make this to be an emphasis. Because but the Bible talks about deception. Primarily, it's wrong doctrine, distorted truth, Then also about not loving the truth. Hebrews 5. Turn with me to Hebrews 5, verse 12. Say this. Paul said this. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracle of God. It's talking about the word of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. Wow. It's true. It is true. We need to get back to the truth, the word of God. We need to lay the fundamental foundation, because as we go further and further down the road, issue is not going to be so simple. It'll be complex. So how do we discern? How do we have understanding? You know, literally, even this whole, I mean, this is not the only thing, but we talk a little bit about this whole LGBT thing. A lot of believers, they even cannot discern what is right and wrong. We are being pushed back is because we don't know what the truth is. And I'm excited what happened on June 26th. You know, there are bad things, but there's a grace of God thing. First is this, it really unites the Church of America. They are coming together to pray. Unbelievable. But we don't have to wait until something like that happens before we come together. No, don't. We can start now. Second is that they begin to search the Word because they realize that they don't know. They got pushed back because when all these guys comes out and talk about why love and so on, the church has no answer because the church cannot answer correctly as being pushed back. That's why we need to come back to understand truth. Paul said this, verse 13. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He is a babe. Okay. Verse 14. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age. It means you are mature. How do you become mature? That is those who by reason of use. That means you diligently search, study, meditate. I call it wrestle with God. What is this, God? What is grace? What is love? And so on from the word of God. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, mature. That means maturity. That is those by reason of use, as they wrestle, as they diligently study, as they diligently search a word. What does it say? Have their senses exercised. That means sharpened. Sharpened to discern both good and evil. That is the primary way where we cultivate discernment. No, I do believe. Come Holy Spirit. There's a spirit of discernment. But don't always count on that, because the spirit is accurate, but your emotion may not. You know, people like to always say, yeah, I'm flowed by the spirit. Sure. But sometimes we may not be that clear. We can be flowed by the wrong thing. At the end of the day, it's the word of God. No, Holy Spirit. No, people say, yeah, the word is boring. No, it's not. They say, yeah, don't use the word in the prayer meetings. You stifle the Holy Spirit. This is the first time I heard of. You don't stifle the Holy Spirit. Simply use the scripture. Holy Spirit, again, dance around the glorious boundary of the word of God. He does not violate the word of God. Amen? So we have to get back so that it sharpens our discernment. So these are two fundamental crisis about truth. Is one is that truth is being redefined. We need to know the truth. That's why I always tell people that you don't have to agree what I say. Be like a Bereans, Acts 17. You don't have to agree what Liking say. Be like a Bereans. Search the scripture and see what does the scripture say. No, I'm not teaching about insubordination. Okay, I'm not teaching you about going back to church. Pastor, I don't agree with you. No, be kind. Be humble. If something being taught wrong, then say, Pastor, I think this is not what the Bible say. No, I'm not teaching about that, but that is a virtue. Why is being more noble? Because they search the word. We need to know the word. So that is the key to Christ, four things about truth crisis, is that truth is being redefined in all fronts. We have to be very clear. Like what I read just now, because we don't endure sound doctrine. We want to hear what we hear. Never lower the requirement of God. Never dilute the message of God to justify who we are. We have to go back to the word of God. Amen? This is vital. Get back to the word of God. Get people to read the word of God. Get people to teach the word of God. make this as the fundamental thing. I want to end by this part that I moved to Joel 2. I want to share with you a dream that God had, a gift to some of us here. We went for a 50-day fast from January to February 19, okay? Praying for Singapore's Jubilee Year and praying for the Church of Jesus Christ. And through it, God gave us a word, a dream. It's a very powerful dream where in the dream, primarily it's about young people, okay? But if you think you are young, it's okay. I'm 25, okay? Second time, plus one. Okay, in this dream, I saw a wave of revival that's going to sweep over Singapore because we have been spending a lot of time praying for young people. And it's a word that God spoke to me in 1999 too, that God is going to raise up an end time young people that will be wholehearted in love, radical in obedience, trust God relentlessly. And they'll live their life. I know some parents say that's not a good word, but I'm going to use it. They're going to live their life with a reckless abandonment for God. Okay, so it's a dream that God. But with that came a warning. I think I shared with you, but I don't know if you remember. With that became a warning. The Lord said this: it will turn into hype, fat, or perversion if it is not established in the love for the word and standing on the absolute truth of the word of God. So we are all praying for revival, but if you understand revival, a lot of time till end, it gets into all kinds of problems because all we are, no, don't get me wrong, I love the Holy Spirit, but all we are getting into is, oh, Holy Spirit, manifestation, emotion, and so on. No, there's a reason why God poured out His Spirit, sent revival, but we have to build on it. If not, it will always turn into hype, turn into fat, turn into perversions. That's why we need to pray for the young people and start calling them to go back to the Word. The Word is not boring. Praying the Word is not boring. You see, how can this be boring? Let me get it out because it's going to fall apart. This is what? The Word. Jesus is who? The Word. The word is powerful, isn't it? Let me tell you this. Every time, it cannot be. Every time the word is being read, being prayed, being spoken, how can it be neutral? Something happened. We have to get them back into the word. Okay, I have no time to tell you a story. If not, you cannot go back. You want to hear a story? Okay, good. Some of you have heard it before. Yeah. No, I learned it when I was, like King said, not teenage, like young adult. I brought, don't make it quick. Then I'm going to pray for the young people, then we'll go to the last part. When I was about 20-something and so on, I brought a friend to my church. He was into new age. He know power. He really know power. He prayed, honey can come out of the picture. I prayed until sweat come out. So he know real power. He was really into new age. No, it's true. So I brought him to a service, because I want him. I wanted to get saved and so on. But that I brought him to a service, I went to his church and whatever. I was sitting beside him. I pay more attention to his response than the service. So worship, he was sitting there. It's like he didn't move. Many things didn't move. There was one moment when the pastor came out, open up the Bible, just read the scripture. He's kind of like sit up, it's like light bulb came up. So after that, the message is so on. So to cut the long story short, at the end I asked him a question. Which is the most anointed moment during the service? Now, I'm not saying that the worship is unanointed or whatever. I'm just going to highlight you a point, okay? I asked him, worship? Nah, no, music was good, but it's a bit loud. So he said, but there's one moment. Man, the power really went forth. That old man who comes, oh, that's not old man, that's my senior pastor. Okay. They open up a book. What book is that? I say, it's called the Bible. Okay. He just read scripture of the day. He said, man, get me the book. The book is powerful. Read only. It's true. How can it be boring? Hebrews 4 says what? The word of God is alive, powerful, sharp. Amen? Okay, we're going to just say a quick prayer. If you are below the age of 35, or you think that you are below the age of 35, no. If you are below the age of 35, why don't you stand? We want to pray for you, for that. My heart, you know what's my heart? My heart is I pray for the revival of the love of God among young people. More than just revival for signs and wonders. Those who are around, why don't you just stretch your hand or just put your hand around. Just pray. I'm just going to say a quick prayer because this is my heart. I don't want to just pray for revival. Eventually, it turn into a fad or hype or perversions. We want to lay strong foundation on them. Amen. Come, just put your hand and we're going to say a prayer. Okay. Lord, we thank you for your promise for that revival that is going to sweep through our nations among the young people. Father, we say yes. We say yes to the rising up of this group of young men, young women, the young generation that will love you wholehearted, Lord. They will obey you radically. They will trust you relentlessly and they live a life of reckless abandonment because they know you, Lord. But I pray for that revival in their heart, for the love of your word, Lord. Put that love upon them, Lord. Open up their eyes even as they open up the Bible, as they read. The word will come alive. I ask for that grace, just as the two disciples who is on the road to Emmaus, where Jesus opened up the scripture and their heart burns. I pray for that to become a norm among the young people in Singapore, that each time as they read the word, their heart burns. Cause the word to be more than just information, but the very heart and the truth and the reality of God to come alive and strike their heart. I pray for the young generation, even in our time, that their life, their goal, their values, their righteousness is defined in accordance to the word of God. They will always stand in the absolute truth of the word of God. Cause that new generation of young people who are to arise, who walk in the power of your spirit, and they know your word, and they love your word. I bless you. I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.